I live my destiny by my choice. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. I live my destiny by my choice. Ha ha. Destiny doesn't seem to be a choice. Destiny seems to be something that happens to us that we have no choice over. At least that's the way we define destiny. And I live my destiny by my choice. How do I do that? How do I live my destiny by my choice when destiny does not give you choice? Well, when you think that you're a dumb person, you are creating your destiny. You are making a choice of your destiny of you being a dumb person. Now, that is not your reality. And your reality, perhaps, is what might destiny be called, you know. It's what we cannot ignore, but the thing is we don't do it. We don't have to be our reality. We can be anything we want to be. We can be a tree. We can be a house, a car, a dog, a cat. We can be anything we want. We live our destiny, whatever we think. Have you ever seen how some people live their lives like cats?
No.
They're always out pouncing on other people. They're always out being nice to other people for just as long as they want to be nice. And then when they are tired of it, then they walk away and just completely ignore the person. Or have you seen some people who are like dogs? They're always snuggling in. They always want to be loved. They always want to love. And they always want to do as you ask them to do. And they always want to be cooperative and so forth, like some dogs. And isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? And then some people are like trees. They're wooden. Now, would you say that in Anne of Green Gables, the brother was like a tree? He was living inside of himself, not communicating very much at all with the outside world, until his tree had a leaf. And that leaf was Anne of Green Gables. And then that leaf became his whole life. It became his reason for living and his reason for enjoying life. And so for 4 years, he enjoyed life after she came, which he wouldn't have done otherwise. He would have no reason to go on. So, you see, we are like a tree. It's just like, what? Just like something that's unresponsive and undirected. But then again, if you are aware of trees, trees are very responsive. Trees do whatever you want them to do. If you love a tree, it'll grow beautifully. If you hate a tree, you can kill it. And people do all the time. And people say, oh, that's got a disease. That's going to kill that tree. And lo and behold, it does. If somebody else comes along, that's got a disease. We're going to cut that off and take care of it. And we're going to make sure it is all well and good. I'm going to love that tree, love it to pieces, and the tree succeeds. You see, a child, too. A child is ill. And a parent says, that's it, you know. Every child who ever got that type of disease is gone. You know, no chance. And then the other parent says, hey, no way. I love that child. For as long as it lives, I love that child. I'm going to love that child forever. And so the child takes a new lease on life. It has a new vibration. It knows that it's appreciated and enjoyed and loved. How many families are the children sort of ignored? I would say maybe about 80% of the families. Isn't that something? The children are ignored. The parents do their own thing, and they have their own play games, you know. And when they go off on their speedboats, and they go off on their hunting trips, and so there's no room for the kids or the wife. When the wife goes off to her bridge games and her different activities, there's no room for the kids, you know. Not that it's bad or good, but the thing is, a family is a family. And a family should have its individual pursuits, but its primary pursuit should be in a family. That's my family. That's where I belong. That's my home. And isn't it interesting? And I find this most interesting. Birds kick the baby out of the nest so they'll fly. And the birds don't want to get rid of the kid. They want him to be ready to take care of himself. And that's just part of their training. Well, now, that's kind of rough, isn't it? Kick them out. If they fly, fly. If they die, they die. You know, no big deal. I mean, what the heck, you know? And some mamas, they let their kids get real fat up there and they never will fly, you know. And so what do parents do with their children? Parents are teaching their children that as soon as they're 18 or 21, they want them out of the house. If they stay in the house, they're a burden. If they stay in the house, they have to pay rent. They have to do all these things, you know. Well, now, if the family trained itself as a family from the very beginning, if the destiny of that family was to be a family of love, there would never be a request to the children to pay their way. The children would naturally do it. They would know the family finances. But you see, the kids don't know the family finances. They don't know the budget. They don't know how much it costs to keep up a house, to do all these things. They don't know. And Papa gets a good salary and can handle that, or else he wouldn't be living there. You understand? So the kids have no idea about it, and they don't. But where children are brought into the family, what goes on in Europe a lot of times? In Europe, it is expected that the children will work. It is expected that the children will take care of the farm, will help with the farm. It is expected that the children will be there as long as they want to be there, into their mid-age and old age, and take over the farm eventually, you know. It's expected. Well, now, that's a family, you might say, of love. You might say, that's just convenience. And no, that's not convenience. That's of love. That's a parent wanting his family always to be part of the family. Wanting his family always to be part of the family. Wanting his family to always be part of the family. You see, most families want to get rid of their kids. They don't dislike them. They don't stop loving them, but they want to get rid of them so they don't have the burden of the kids. The burden of the kids? Have the kids ever been a burden? If the kids were ever a burden, they shouldn't have had them in the first place. If the kids are not their deepest love and their most desired beings, I read every now and then of how some kids stay and take care of their mom or dad or something like that in their tough years or whatever, and how the mother and father feels the child should be there taking care of them, not feeling the child should have his own life and do his own thing. Stop and think. Why should a child have his own life and do his own thing? This is because parents want to get rid of them. They want to get them out of the house. Now, could a child who's a young adult be doing his own thing and still stay at home? Could he still be a very definite part of the family and be in the love of the family structure? Could he be in the community of his family, of the oneness of his family, rather than going out in the community of the community where nobody else really cares about him, you know? They only care about themselves, which is understandable. But the thing is, I think that the family, as it is designed by the infinite cause, is a place where people harmoniously live together and do things together and are their genius self together. Now, you say, well, what if he wants to get married? Or she wants to get married? Well, that's fine too. That can be in the family. In many families, it is in the family. And you say, well, I'd rather be off on my own. That's because you've been trained that you should not be a burden to your family. You should be off on your own. You shouldn't let your children be with your mother, you know? And just stop thinking about anything else at all right now. Who are the happiest people in the world?
Africans.
The grandparents. Yes, the Africans, they're real happy, but you don't really know them. But they do have a community of arrangement. But the grandparents. The grandparents are just doting on their grandchildren, just being so happy with them. They would like to do beautiful things. They'd like to continue their generosity, which they had with their children, onto their grandchildren, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, show me any grandparent in the world who doesn't like their grandchildren, and I will show you a parent that didn't like their children. You'll be surprised. You'd be surprised. You see, I live my destiny by my choice. And my destiny is what, Ellen?
Being myself.
Yes. What, Ingeborg?
Being myself and having fun.
What, Sylvia?
Be myself and have fun.
What, Rex? Laying on his back and being himself and having fun. That's what his whole life is all about. And for Button and Love and the cats, being themselves and having fun. Now, that's your reality. That's your destiny. Now, if he is not being himself and having fun, why should he bother living? If he's living in unhappiness, if he's living in sickness, if he's living in poverty, if he's living in anything. This morning, we came walking up by the pool here, and we came down to the big stairs, and who should see us there but
Magic.
A bird.
Oh, a bird.
Yeah.
A road runner.
A road runner. I was saying road runner, but a road runner. Mm-hmm. And the road runner stood still long enough so Rex could see him, and then he just sauntered away. And Rex looked at him and said, if I weren't on the leash, I'd come and visit you. And so then the roadrunner went down on the road below, and I saw him, but Rex didn't see him. And I said, Rex, he's just out getting his breakfast. He's looking for seed and all sorts of good stuff, just like you. You know, you're out getting your breakfast now and then, and you just have such a good time. He says, yes, I know I do. And he didn't rush. He didn't feel. He sees the little bunny rabbits along the path, and the bunnies just stand there, look back at us, you know, until we get quite close. And then they just gently, hippity-hop into the bushes. And Rex says, I know you, you know. I have to get you when you're not looking. But when you're looking, there's no way I can get a hold of you, you know. So this is part of the game, isn't it, Rex? It's part of the game of life. It's part of the wonderful game of life. It is living our destiny, our choice. It is being ourselves and having fun. And when you're yourself and have fun, then what happens?
I'll end it by no other.
Ellen, I'm going to ask you this question because only you have the answer. Why do parents have children? They want to love them.
Because they want to love them.
Thank you. Why do children come into homes that have parents?
Because they want to be loved.
And they want to love.
Yes.
They want to be loved and they want to love. And in a home where that is taking place, where they're being loved and they are loving, what comes out of that?
Love.
Pure love. Would you say that you could have nothing more precious in the world than for the love of your family?
That's right.
As a human being, what more the love of Jesus? Jesus doesn't want your love. He wants you to live a beautiful life, be yourself, and have fun. That's what he taught. Now, you see, the love we have for our family is what kind of love? A divine love. A spiritual love. I'm giving them my answers to my questions. But it's a divine love. Now, what makes it so precious?
The purity in it, the sincerity, the honesty, the pure love.
The unconditionalness of it.
And untouched, you know, unpossessed, unconditional.
Unpossessed.
Oh, you like that. Now, does a mother possess her children? They are just her children. Does a child possess his mother? That's my mom. Your mom did this dumb thing. Oh, I don't think so. You know? Your kids did these dumb things. Oh, I don't think so. I know my children. Do you really know your children? And yes, they do when they say they know their children. And no, they don't when they doubt their children, you know? But you see, I live my destiny by my choice, and my destiny is to be myself and have fun. And it's my choice how I do that. I can be a Mozart, or I can be anything else. They had an article in the Business Week about Mozart. Did you read it?
Mm-hmm.
And how if you play Mozart to teenagers and college students, it will help them improve their short-term memory so that they will remember the things that they're preparing for on their examinations. And So some parents were playing it for little babies in the womb, as well as, you know, in the crib. And the scientists were saying, we're not sure what might have happened if you do that. If you do that, those children might not be so good. Oh, my goodness sakes, come off it. Did they do any research on children listening to Mozart when they're in the womb or when they're babies? No, they did not. And they just draw conclusions. And the conclusion is that it is meaningful and proven with college students that listening to Mozart while they're preparing for their examinations, they improve tremendously. You see? But they don't know what it'll do to a little child. If it'll help a college student with his short-term memory, what do you think it'll do to a little child? What it'll do to a little child will be to get all of his brain connections wonderfully gathered together in a harmonious pattern so that he will be operating on a high level. And that's great. That's great. See, this is where we all live. I live my destiny by my choice. And we want to realize that the love of the family, the love of the home, the love of people who unpossess each other, do not possess each other, is perhaps the greatest love in the universe. And that unconditional love is overwhelming all. Are you ready for that? Mm-hmm. Then be it and enjoy the benefit from being it, because you're fantastic, and I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.